This is Hatch Design Talk, so we chat with the speakers of the upcoming Hatch conference. Today is Nadia Piet's turn. She was working at DEP Netherlands and recently went full-time in her passion project, AIX Design, a community of technologists collaborating to define what AI should become. We talk through her journey into the AI topic, what her views for the future of AI and design are, and the things we should all watch for. Enjoy. Hi, Nadia. Thank you so much for joining me today in this podcast that we record to get people to know the speakers of Hatch Conference. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Doing great. A little bit cold here in Amsterdam summer, but
We can just pretend we're recording this in October when it's already a little cold. Normally, not in July.
Yes, but I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. Excited that you're coming. We've been talking for a while and yeah, just wanted to ask a little bit more about your background and the things that you do. I know that you're founder of AIX Design, a community of people using and reflecting about AI. And it started about 3 years ago, so definitely before the hype, let's say. How did it actually come to be?
Yeah, so quite a bit more actually, or it's hard to say where did it start because it just evolved as a community. But in 2018, I started in this field. And so my background is mostly in design, mostly like UX, UI, but also more surface design, strategic design. So design thinking, but not necessarily graphic or visual design. And I was really curious about AI. What's the role of AI in design, like how is it going to shape design practice and other creative adjacent like disciplines, and the other way around as well, which is like how does design and how can designers influence sort of the development and trajectory and impact of AI. So I started with that, and I then did my research and ended up releasing the AI Meets Design Toolkit, which was just like a free downloadable PDF resource that I just put out on the web. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people responded to that, which is then what kind of was like a starting line for the community, because I realized like there's a lot of people that are interested and want to approach these topics in a different way. So 2019 or 2020, I think I opened like just like a Slack space for people to meet. And that's been growing out. We started doing some articles and some like online events, and it just snowballed into what we're becoming now.
Nice. A very organic community, which is always like the healthiest way of having it, I think.
Yeah.
Do you remember when your interest for AI started? How did it come to be, like even before you started with that community?
Yeah, so I think a lot of like people ask me this question and I'm like, I don't know. Exactly, because you hear about it, and obviously there's also just the depiction of it, even in pop culture, even on like cartoons and stuff. So AI or like humanoid like beings. I know even as a kid, I was like, that's so sick. But I don't think I really got a grasp of it until I think this was also like 2017 or 18, and I was living in Spain at the time in Valencia. And there was a conference there around AI, and I somehow ended up there. I can't remember exactly how I ended up at this conference on AI. I think really opened my eyes to this being a field that also spans all the disciplines rather than just like a computer science. And what was really funny was that same moment that this conference was happening, there was the AlphaGo mm-hmm. game playing out, like Google's system playing Go with, I think, the world champion in Go. And this also brought up so much discussion because, of course, there was like AI beating Kasparov in chess, but people were like, chess is a very strategic game. It's a very mathematical, procedural kind of game with like very clear rules. And people had always said Go is a very intuitive, like very human-like gameplay that would be really hard to teach to computers. I don't know, something shifted where people were like, oh God, we have no idea what we're in for. And this machine learning and AI, it's gonna be so much more than maybe what we thought.
And I think a good approach is also that it's not just for the scientists, right? And not just for the people who have the mathematical and scientific knowledge, but actually each one of us in our disciplines. And I think the latest months have been a proof of that. Everyone has to think about what this means.
Even more, I would say like the most important work in AI right now is not on the technological bit of it, but much more on design, implementation, impact, ethics, and all the other so much shit we have to figure out before. But of course, there's the arms race, and we're not going to stop that.
I remember when I reached to you to do a keynote on the topic of AI and tools, you said, I'll do it, but it all moves so fast that I won't finish it until a week before the conference or something like that. That's fine. Is that still the case? But can you give us an idea more or less of what it's going to be about, or what you feel that it's going to end up being about?
Yes, there's a few things that I think I'm really interested in now. One is AI in relation to creativity, and how do we relate to it as creatives, and how in a world that is also entangling creativity with commodification and livelihood, how can we navigate AI to support us and not replace us, but also more inwardly looking at the creative process and how fuzzy ideas are and how ideas develop. How does AI potentially being part of that process change the way we think and incubate thoughts, ideas, concepts, much more about critically reflecting on what does it mean to work creatively with systems like this, to let them into your craft, how can you keep that feeling of craft and artistic when you're working with models like that.
I guess I'd see a big two trends of kind of the generative AI and the kind of copilot AI. What's your weight on where those two are going? Because as designers, I guess we're more threatened by the generative one, but more excited about the other one. But what is your personal take on that?
Yeah, exactly. There's now two streams, maybe, but I think it's a spectrum of how do we keep agency and autonomy as people and as creatives over these systems? And what are meaningful ways? So I think we won't move to necessarily so generative AI right now, it's a lot of, produce this and then use the output. I'm not it's computationally really sick. We can do that. Creatively, I'm not super interested in that idea. I'm much more interested in this idea of co-pilot or co-creating. So I think that one is much more interesting. So rather than it automating things using the outputs, which is further commodification of stuff. And it's really early in these tools as well. It's literally July, just a year ago, nobody had, none of these tools at their disposal. So it's also important to remember just how quickly this is happening, that actually nobody knows what's going on and how to deal with this. And also experimenting with the interfaces even for these tools, right? Because the interfaces shape how we use them, how we interact with them. So I've seen people come up also with quite experimental ways of prompting. That's not necessarily just put the text and enter, but there's a visual mix and match collage thing, which then ultimately prompts the system, but it's interacting with it, in different ways, prompting it in different ways, exploring the latent space in different ways, using the output of these systems, again, as input for your process or again, another tool. So I think it's really interesting to look at, really weird, wacky workflows people are coming up with that integrate these tools rather than it's a one step, do this, use the output. So I think, definitely more co-piloting model, but I also think there will be lots of different sort of ways that we do that we haven't seen yet because it's early days.
Let's say for the people who have not been up to date or they felt already dropped for 2 months and then suddenly it's too hard to follow, what would you advise? It's a good way to get started without getting lost in all the noise and the possibilities. If you had any recommendations.
For creatives and designers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think the best way to learn about stuff and figure out what it means and blah, 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 is not necessarily to read all the headlines. And God knows there's way too many of them. So I also don't think, it's not necessary and it's not helpful to try and keep up with all the headlines, right? That's just a lot of information that you have nowhere to put or channel. So what I would really recommend for someone that's feeling a bit overwhelmed, which we all are, but also wants to do something is just get hands-on. And I think the easiest way to do this at this point is to go to Hugging Face demos, right? So it's like Hugging Face is this open source community and a platform, and they host a lot of the models that come out across not just image generation, but across all sorts of AI machine learning capabilities. And most of the models have demos, so you can just try it a little bit when you get like a few tries. But I think actually doing it like that and then seeing, you get to see how the model performs a little bit. You get to pull those levers and move the parameters to see how does it change the output. So I would say that, and then you can come back and talk to people about it and exchange ideas and so on. But I feel like right now a lot of people write and talk and think about it, but they haven't really
played with
have hands-on experience, which is really helpful.
No, absolutely. And I don't want to get into the whole like ethics side fully, or like, are machines going to take over the world thing, because obviously that's been done. And I'm interested in, like, what do you see as a creative, the risks for yourself, for your own peers, what has been discussed in your own community that's beyond the big words of like taking over everything and just ruining jobs, etc.?
Oh, there's so much. And this is my favorite conversation.
Okay.
So I think right now there's a lot of like binary, right? It's either, oh yeah, it's great, we don't have to work anymore, blah, blah, blah. Or there's, oh my God, this is the end of everything. It's like neither of those attitudes, I think, are very helpful, because they disengage you. Like, you're no longer part of shaping this. And you are part of shaping this, right? Like, the future is not written. We make it. And there's people busy writing it. So get in to join it as well. I think interesting questions now are, we talk a lot around like AI taking away autonomy and agency. So I'm really interested in working on a project now that's exploring like, how can we design AI systems to put agency and autonomy of the user or the person using it at the center, which we haven't really seen much of, because it conflicts with certain interests of efficiency and profit, right? But actually that's a design decision. We could perfectly well design AI systems that are more, that operate on very different values. So I think I'm really interested in exploring what is AI, what could it look like, how could it show up in our lives outside of this very narrow ideology or very narrow scope that we're seeing now. So I think that sort of thinking about how the UX and the interaction design of these systems like shape our behavior and expanding on what that could be, something that I think not enough people talk about is who's going to be affected by this, right? And people are like, aren't you scared? And I'm like, I'm not, because I think my job is difficult to automate because it doesn't have a clear process, but I think it will affect people differently, and it will disproportionately affect people that are already at a disadvantage, both in like the bias that shows up in these systems, but also in like automating jobs that now maybe we like outsource. But even in the current reality, if it's like people labeling the data, like labeling an annotation, and like the labor of that, which is very invisible. But AI has a very physical and real like value chain. Like, it's not some magic technology that just came from the heavens. It's like, who are? So I think that as well, which is the present reality of it and people's actual lived experience, it's already like, it's already having negative impacts and harming people present day. So I'm also, yeah, with the community, it's like we're looking to do more work around that, like how can we prevent and mitigate like harms occurring at the moment, people's lived experience, rather than only fear-mongering the future.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's super important that these spaces exist, mostly because I feel we are in this kind of like arms race. We really is like release it fast and put it out there. And all these companies who should be responsible for things like that are just, you know, have to be first. They have to, it's really like months or they're gone potentially. So it's interesting that those spaces now belong to like the smaller people and the smaller groups of people who are thinking about this. Even if I imagine that internally it does exist, probably they just are pushed by the market's needs and the necessity to like be first.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many reasons not to do that, right? There's so many reasons to just rush, run to the finish line and not ask the big questions. Like, that's incentivized. So I think it's really important to, yeah, create spaces where we, again, think and talk about AI outside of that. It's, imagine all the world's research around nutrition came from McDonald's. You know what I mean? It's like, imagine that all the sort of narratives that are in your head around a certain like field, they all come from a very specific angle that has a specific interest. And it's like, that's where we're at with AI, where it's like our whole idea of what it is and what it means is shaped by such a narrow set of ideas. So I think if anything, there's so much shit to figure out. But if anything, it's, that would be a great place to start, right? Because it's like all the things we have to figure out, they touch on different disciplines and different challenges from labor rights, but also like environmental impact and like UX, like all across the board. So the first thing we need is for people to realize that AI isn't just this thing that it's now in their head, but it's, we can expand on what that means and develop other, yeah, like language around it, narratives around it, approaches to it that, yeah, people in big tech don't have the space and time because they are in an arms race. It's like, we cannot ask them to do this. We have to do this. Those of us who can find and take up those spaces. Yeah, I think that would be a good first step towards all the other. We can't leave ethics in the hands of Meta. Like, no. That's unfair. Yeah. That's like setting yourself up for failure.
Asya, I wanted to ask you, besides giving a talk, what are you most excited about coming to Hatch?
Oh, good question. I saw, so yeah, like I said, I was already watching the podcast snippets. And I see there's, yeah, quite a bit around like design for AI, design of AI, and so on. And it's really fun for me to be in a community with other people that are like actually working on this on a day-to-day basis. Yes, so I'm probably gonna pick their minds a lot. And yeah, just, it's always really exciting to meet other people that are facing the same challenges and exchange ideas with them. So really looking forward to that.
Absolutely. And by the time this episode comes out, also probably the roundtable signups will be open, and yeah, we'll have like small rooms of up to 15 people that can just get together and chat about a topic. And in your case, obviously, it would be like AI and related stuff. There's nothing like getting in person and getting really like fine with some stuff, right? Nice. All right. Thank you so much. That was great. And we'll see each other in October.
Sounds good. Thank you.
That was it. Remember that if you want to attend Hatch Conference online, you can get a 15% discount using the code HatchDesignTalk at checkout on www.hatchconference.com. See you next week.